Number 9, Our God, He is Alive. I just now turned that on. So it talks about a God who's the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know. It actually says that in this song. Okay? Who speaks from His inspired word. Okay? Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. He is God. He has revealed what is necessary for man to know Him, to serve Him, to be saved from their sins. But He gives us a little glimpse into creation and how it come about. But He doesn't tell us everything. And He doesn't tell us everything about how He works in providence. Although we know He does because we've seen it in throughout Scripture. We know His word through the prophets, the apostles, Jesus speaking while on earth. And so we can know this God, and He wants us to, but we will know what He has revealed. And, you know, some people say, Father alone will understand. I don't know if we will or not. It's not going to matter. If we're in heaven with the Lord and with God, it doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter what happened on earth, you know, because we're there. We're in heaven. We're in glory. And if God doesn't choose to reveal it, that's okay with me. Thank God I've got the Bible. So, in Him we live and we survive. Those are good words, but it's in Him. Remember the spiritual blessings that Paul talks about in Ephesians 1? In Him we live and we survive. All the spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And as we look to Him as our Lord and King, as we sing in many songs, then we can survive not only this life on earth, even if we have to die for His cause, and we're going to be looking at some of those things later, but we survive the devil, we survive sin, we survive the second death, which is hell. Judgment eternally. Any thoughts about how our God, He is alive? And you know, when we read that, it's like Elizabeth was saying, He's there. He never slumbers. Christ is alive, and He's reigning. This God is not a piece of wood. This God is not dead. But not only is He alive, but because Christ rose from the dead, we will be raised and live forever. So this song can really be a song of praise and a song of thanksgiving as we sing it as many others. Any thoughts about this before we move on? Okay, magnify or magnify. 704 in your psalm book, but let's, if you want to, we can learn, turn there. This is another song of praise. It's an exhortation and an encouragement to one another and to ourselves to praise God. And I ask you to define magnify. What's that mean?
Extol the praise.
Right. To make great, to extol, to exalt in description or praise. That's just what it means. And it's not just like we say your dress is pretty or, you know, your hair looks nice today. It's to extol and make greater, you know, something that is worthy of higher praise. So magnify that. So, I said that we would discuss in class, and you can make notes or give scripture, because in this song, this it's not very long, we sing these phrases. We say, magnify, O magnify, O magnify our God and Father. Magnify, O magnify. Okay, and then, O magnify our God. He has made us in His glorious image. We know that from Genesis 2 and 3. We ever strive to be like Him. That's one, the first phrase that I put on your lesson for you to think about, and so that we can start to talk about a little bit. What does "we ever strive to be like Him" mean to you? Anyone put down anything? Any verse?
To be imitators of Him as He was of Christ.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm striving to be like Him.
Anyone else have a verse? That's a good verse. I'm striving to be like Him. We sing, we ever strive. That means that it's an ongoing thing. We want to be better and better, to be more like Jesus. We sing a song. That. Okay? Let's turn. Anyone else have a verse that they'd like to share? Okay? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord entreats you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Drop down to verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until, verse 13, we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Okay? And over in chapter 5 of Ephesians, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Drop down to verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And as Pat said, they're to be imitators of Christ. So, ever strive to be like Him. We're never going to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. We're not ever going to be able to say, my work is finished. I've done it completely. You know, I gave Him the glory, the perfect glory of the Father on earth. We'll never be able to say that. But we strive and we strive. Strive means active labor. It takes some work. It's not haphazardly. It's, you know, striving. It's working. It's purposing. And reconciled to be like Him. That's the next thing. He has given us to His Son to save us, now reconciled to be like Him. Whose idea was it for us to be like Him? It's God's, isn't it? God did it because He loved us. We were sinners, lost, condemned. It's God's plan. It's God's wish to have a people for Him. Anybody think of a verse that talks about being reconciled to be like Him?
Colossians 1:20-22.
Right. You want to read that? Colossians 1.
For it was God's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth and things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile, through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach.
Okay. Susan Dunbar, would you read 1 Peter 2:9-12?
9 through 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a special people. You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims abstain from flesh and blood, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, when they speak against you with evil doers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Very good. So, a people for God's own possession, that he planned, that he purposed and brought about that plan through the ages before the foundations of the world. And so, how great this God is, how merciful, and that he wanted this people for his possession, and so that we may glorify him, and so that we may let the dark world know about him, if only through our lives. Hopefully our words can reach them also, but to glorify God, just like Christ prayed in his prayer in John 17, that he's glorified, the Father on earth, and he prayed that God would glorify him, and then give him the glory that he had before he came. So Jesus talks about glorifying God and what he did in his life to bring that about, and so to reconciled. To be like him. We have a purpose. And it's not just to feel good about ourselves or to know that God loves us. We have a purpose. And so, giving him the praise, honor, and revering him is the next phrase that I put on your lesson. By our lives, by our words, and by our thoughts, whether we're in assembly, whether we're at home, whether we're out in the world, to praise, honor, and revere him. Okay, that brings me to a point that I want to share with you. In these three points, I come up with the four P's that help me every day. And I don't have it on the refrigerator like I've got 1 Corinthians 13 about how love acts, but the four P's, it's actually study, but prepare our hearts. If we're going to be reconciled to be more like him, if we ever strive to be more like him, if we're going to give him praise, honor, and revere him, we're going to have to prepare, and that is the book. Okay, get into the book. Prepare our hearts. Okay? The next is we're going to have to pray. We're not going to do everything right. Even in our seeking truth, pray about it. Pray about the day. So you study, you pray. Second P. Third P is practice, if it's just one thing. practice makes better. Melissa teaches piano. She knows. Lauren has taught piano, you know. Anything we learn to do, whether it's cooking or, you know, playing an instrument or learning more about Jesus and being better at that and serving one another, it's by practice. So, preparation, prayer, practice. The fourth one is perseverance. How many times does Jesus say, endure, persevere, endure, persevere, overcome? So, you know, persevere. You mess up, you get up, you start again. So, the four P's to help us to be more like Him. Any thoughts about that?
I was thinking about when God doesn't tell us to try to be more like Him without telling us how to do it. And that's why we need to be sure to be reading and studying and practicing all these things.
Right. And we need to be studying because He shows us who He is. Jesus came and showed us who the Father was. And through His Word, we can know about God's love. We know how He loved. So, how are we going to love? He showed us mercy. How are we going to show mercy? He showed us forgiveness. How do we forgive? So, you know, through His Word, but He shows Himself. He shows His person through Jesus and through the Word. And so, you know, we can know God, you know, better. We can't be like somebody if we don't know who He is. Okay, any other thoughts? I gave you a couple of things there. King Most High, we sang that, number 38 in your book. We do sing that. And just wanted to note just a couple of things in that song. Jesus, of course, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King Most High. But when we sing King Most High, we call Him My Lord. And at the very end of the chorus, we sing, My Lord and My King Most High. If we say those words and we're not allowing Jesus to rule our hearts, He's not our Lord and He's not our King. And so when we sing this, they're good words. And yes, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when we put it personally, that's saying something to God. And so, talking about God's word, words He gave me to say, you know, by works He led the way. He shows what He wants us to know. And the works that He did, it proves who He was. He is Lord and He's King. And He went to the cross. All these wonderful thoughts about Jesus in this song. But then it comes down to my Lord and my King who's reigning in my heart. That's what it comes down to when we sing this song. Okay? Number 44, it's To God Be the Glory. We've already discussed that. I didn't make any extra remarks about that. But the Son gave Him glory, and we should give Him the glory because of the great things He's done. We sing this wonderful song, and great things He's taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing. There it is. God wants His people to rejoice. And you know, throughout Acts, Elizabeth is teaching Acts to one of the little classes out here and everything. But in their conversion, you see people rejoicing because they have been saved from their sin. And because they were considered worthy by the Almighty God to partake of the gift of salvation, and they rejoice in that. So we should be a rejoiceful, happy people. And so we sing about that, and we give God the glory when we rejoice in that because of the great things that He has done as we sing. Any thing that you want to say about that song that you remember or that means something? Okay, 186 is I Stand Amazed, you know, at all the things that He's done. And my song will ever be, don't you want to be in heaven being amazed at the Lord God all the time? And so, and my joy through the ages. What a wonderful thing, but we stand amazed. If we're not in awe of this great God, so as to revere and to be humbled before Him, we need to do a little soul searching and a little bit more study about what He did for us. And so, I stand amazed. If we get so used to our creation, our blessings, the mercy that He shows us, and we don't keep that zeal in our heart or our sense of awe about Him, we sort of lose, I think, the humble reverence before Him. Things sort of get to be like old hat. You know, or just we get used to doing things, we get in a rut, you know, or we don't have our whole heart into it. Things that we studied back in, you know, about our heart, examining our heart in this and what He demands of it. Okay, any thoughts about that? I ask a question. Did anybody come up with your favorite hymn of praise?
Number two?
Yeah. Susan likes number two. Let's look at it right quick. What do you like about it, Susan?
I like the praise. It just tells how much He's given us.
Number two is Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And His name alone is high. See, we studied about that. He's the only God and everything.
I don't know if you consider it a song of praise, but His grace reaches me.
What?
His grace reaches me.
Oh, I think it is.
596.
It's definitely a song of praise. A Thanksgiving, you know, praise, thanksgiving, reverence, those kind of things. His grace reaches me. That's a very good one. And when we sing, now I'm under His control. We're not talking about puppets. And I'm happy in my soul. How are we under His control? We sing these words.
We do what He says.
Doing what He says. Better not sing those words if we're not intent on learning what He says, obeying what He says, wanting to obey Him, okay, with our lives. Just to know that His grace reaches me. Okay, very good. My favorite, one of my favorites, you know, it's really hard, is 636. It's called The Love of God. And I love it because of the words. I also love the way that we sing it. But to encourage one another. But since the love of God has shed priceless blessings on my head, I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart. See what we're saying to God here? Our words are going to follow us to judgment. I will hide it in my heart And this is the part that I pray about, and it may never depart. It shall rule there alone. Prayer time, prayer time, prayer time. Okay? Since the Son of God came down with His love, our lives to crown, He with us would remain. Greater love there could not be. Jesus died for you and me. In our hearts, He would reign. He who gave His love to me that I might from sin be free bids me share it today. See the responsibility? As I loved you, He said, you must serve men in my stead as you go on your way. While His love burns true and bright, we are walking in the light. He has shown us the road. See, we were talking about knowing God, knowing Jesus. We His glory must reflect, lest our dimness and neglect. See, we can do that. We can be all guilty, and we have to repent, and we have to pray, and we have to do better. Keep some soul from its God, the love of God. Okay? And then the chorus. And the endless years, it is the same. The love of God will never fail or lose its glory till we see Him face to face. A mighty God. And we will stop there unless anyone has any other comments.